The Mishnah in Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, tells us that even though the normal process of adjudicating a din Torah is in a formal and established bezdin, there's a new type of bezdin called Zablo, Ze Boyer Lo Echa, which means that if the bezdin sends a hazmana, sends a summons to a person, subpoenas a person to come and appear in front of bezdin, he can, upon receiving this hazmana, refuse to come to this particular bezdin, rather choosing a different bezdin. And then the litigant, the plaintiff, could say, I don't want the bezdin that you're choosing. I like a different bezdin. And the halacha is that if they don't agree on a bezdin, they can go through the process of choosing a bezdin called Zabla Zebur Le'echer, which means one litigant chooses one dayan, the second litigant chooses a different dayan, a second dayan, and then the two dayanim together choose the third dayan. This is called the Zabla, Zebur Le'echer. This is a different, alternate way of adjudicating a din Torah in bezdin. Now the truth is that there's a machlekes whether the two dayanim choose the third dayan, or each litigant chooses one dayan, and then both litigants together choose the third dayan. So that's a machlekes, and most poskim assume that the two dayanim are the ones choosing the third dayan. However, the poskim point out that when it comes to a pshara, if they're not going to render a real psak al pidin, but they're going to do some type of compromise, some type of pshara, then you would need the consent of the two litigants prior to the proceedings. And therefore, since the batei din today are doing something that is din, but they're being authorized also to do a pesher hakarv din, they're getting your agreement for them to come to some type of pshara that's close to din. So normally, even when you have a din, since it's also a form of a pshara, so you do have to have the consent of the two litigants as to the identity of the third dayan. But at any rate, this is the concept of zabla in Hilchas Dayanim. Now, the Rishonim ask a very basic question. The sugya earlier, Daf Hei, says Mefurish that Bezdin can force someone to appear in front of the Bezdin. They could send someone a hazmano, they could send someone a subpoena, and they could coerce him to appear in front of Bezdin. And even according to one Ma'ad Yomar, a Yochid Mumcha has that right. So the question is, over here it seems like a Bezdin can't force you to appear. You could say, no, I refuse to come in front of your Bezdin, I'll do a Zeber Le'echot, a Zabla. How come over there it's Mavur that they do have the ability to force the litigants to appear in front of the Bezdin? So the Rishonim explain a very important chilik, and that is that the difference is whether or not you're actually refusing the dayanim, or your refusal is specific to appearing in front of this particular bezdin. If you say, I'm not interested in the din, I'm completely neglecting the hazmana, then they could, in fact, force you to appear in front of bezdin. You can't simply disregard the hazmana. However, if you get a hazmana, and you're not completely disregarding the hazmana, but you're saying, I don't want to come in front of you, but I will go in front of a different bezdin, or eventually they'll get to the process called the zabla, then it's mutter because you're not rejecting the hazmana. That is the chilik that most Rishonim say, that it depends on whether you're completely neglecting the hazmana, you're rejecting the hazmana, or you're just refusing to come in front of this particular bezdin, but you will agree to appear in front of a different bezdin. So if you completely reject it, they could force you to appear. If you don't completely reject it, you just refuse to come in front of this bezdin, that's within your rights. Now, this zabla, how does it work? How does this idea of a zabla work? So first, we have to point out a very important Rambo, where the Rambo says that even though the Gemara and the Mishnah tells us about this concept called a zabla, that is only true if there's no bezdin kavua in the ear. If there's an established formal bezdin in the city, they could force you to appear in front of them, and they could prevent you from invoking your rights of Zabla. Azoy shteitn Rambo. However, Ramosha says that today's day and age, in Bizman Hazeh, this Ramos psak wouldn't apply. And in fact, a person would in fact be able to invoke the rights of a Zabla, because the Ramos is referring to a case where the community accepted upon themselves this Bezdin, and therefore it's like a formally elected Bezdin, so there they have certain power and rights and authority, and they could render a din Torah, render a psak din, in spite of the fact that you want to go the route of a Zabla. However, today, where dinim, batei dinim just start adjudicating cases on their own, it's not like there's an election process and they're appointed by the Bnei Ha'ir. Therefore, you do have the ability to refuse to come in front of this particular Bezdin, because today it's not considered a Bezdin Kavua. However, the Poskim point out, if let's say you were to have some type of community, or out-of-town community, that has a formally elected Bezdin that's established in the ear, then in fact you would have this psak of the Ramah, where they would be able to in fact prevent the litigant from invoking his rights of Zabla, because they could force you to appear in front of Bezdin, even though you don't want to do that type of process and din, you want to go through Zabla. Akul Panim, so this is the halacha of a Zabla. Now, there's a tremendous machlekes b'shoinim how the Zabla works. Rashi says that what's the maila of a Zabla? Rashi over there in Sanhedrin Chav Gimel. Rashi says that the Gemara says that al yidei Zabla yetze din emes lamitoi, the true psak din will be rendered. And Zakhtar Rashi, why? Why is it something that's recommended, says Rashi, because each litigant has chosen a dayan, and the two dayanim have chosen the third one, and therefore, since each one chose the dayan, if one person loses the case, he will be more accepting of the psak din, because he'll say, listen, my guy fought for me, he did everything he can, he was my guy, and therefore, if I lost, in spite of the fact that he fought for me, the halacha is takanon on my side. So, azoizok Rashi. So, the two is medayik from Rashi, and the truth is that there's a haisofon Rashi, ayin shom, which is mashma like this. The two is medayik from Rashi, and the Yad Ramah holds that, in fact, each boyer, each dayon, each selected judge, is allowed to and is even supposed to argue on behalf of his guy. If each litigant chooses a dayan, then that dayan should in fact argue and be biased towards that fellow. And that's what the Torah is saying from Rashi. Rashi is saying that since he argued for me and I still lost, so that's why I'm going to be more accepting of the psak din. The Rosh says Chas V'Shalom, and the Ran also, and they say that no. Avada, you have no right to execute the din al yidei negius, even if you were selected by a particular litigant. That's sheker, that's terrible, and that's completely going to destroy the whole authenticity and legitimacy of the bezdin. Rather, you have to argue for the emes and fakert. Says the Ran, so why do we go through this procedure where you have one choosing the other? Teretz is that even though both are going to look for the emes, but if one was chosen by one of them, he'll automatically have some sort of hakaras hatoiv to him, some sort of feelings of gratitude, and therefore he might be internally and subconsciously inclined to rule in his favor. So to combat that, to counteract that, we have a different judge that was appointed by the other fellow, and therefore he'll have his negias, he'll have his hakaras hatoiv subconsciously, that will counteract the other one's subconscious negius. And therefore, they cancel each other out, and then you have a psak din that will be emes lamitai. However, says the Rosh Chas V'Shalom, a dayan, a boyer, is not allowed to execute any bias, any favor whatsoever, and he's not allowed to bechlal, be nichnas, into trying to push and incline the din in one direction. Lamaisa, the Rama does have the mashmois that there is a limited amount of negiyas that is allowed. And even though, Avada, you're not allowed to push for sheker, and if you feel your guy that selected you is wrong, you're not allowed to push in that direction, but you should be a little bit more mahapech beslusoi, or it's understood. I don't know if it's, you're supposed to, but it's expected and it's understood that there is a certain amount of negiyas and bias that does take place on the part of the Baira. Because the Rama says as follows. You know that we know that if someone's the shushvinin of one of the litigants, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the beginning, the Gemara says in the third parak, that if the dayan is very close friends, he's one of the shushvinim of one of the litigants, he's not allowed to be a dayan on his bezdin. And if he renders a psak din, the psak din is null and void. Because you're close friends, you have a very obvious bias, and therefore this psak din is completely nullified. What about a dayan, and this is quite common, who has some shaykhis with one of the litigants? He knows him, he's friendly, but he's not close friends. So the halacha is that me'ikar din, his psak din is fine, it's adequate, but mimidas chasidus, he should refrain, he should recuse himself. However, the Rama says that even though normally there's a midas chasidus to recuse yourself when you have a shaykhis to this person, you're friendly, but you're not close with him, when it comes to a boirer by a zabla, you could, in fact, join the Bezdin as this person's boirer, even though you know the guy and you're friendly. And the reason is because anyways it's expected that there's a certain negiyas that takes place on the part of the boyer, and therefore that won't be added by the fact that he's an acquaintance. And therefore there's not even a midas chasidus for you to join the Bezdin. Al-Koponim, that is the assumption of the Rama, that it is expected that there's some amount of negiyas, but it's supposed to be limited, and avada, a person is not supposed to be mehapech beschusoy of the person that selected you if you feel that he's not in the right. Now, one final shaila, and that is ex parte communication. In halacha, it's strictly osur for the dayan to hear one side of the equation and the arguments of one litigant in before the proceedings take place and before he's actually in the presence of the other litigant. So you can't have ex parte communication. You can't hear out one of the balei dvarim before hearing the other. That's a strict halacha, and if you do so, the din is batal. What about a zabla? So the Paiskim say, by a Zabla too, since it's Lamaisa a Psak Din, the Boirer that is chosen is not allowed to hear the arguments of the person that selected him. Because, again, that's going to render the Din to be Batal. However, the Paiskim say that the prevalent practice is for, in fact, people who are Boirim to hear out the arguments of the litigant that chose them, even though it's not in the presence of the other Bal Din. And it's before the actual proceedings take place. So what's the head? What's the justification? So some Paiskim Taka say, and the Panim Iris says, it's Taka Prab. But the Orcha Shulchan says that the Limud Schus is that since it's Al Daita Dehachi, since everyone does it, it's already understood by both Bali Din that that's what's going to happen. So perhaps that's a Limud Schus for this practice of hearing out the person even before the other baldin is present. But lamaisa, the ikar din, it's a problem. And fakert, if a person wants to demand that it shouldn't be done, he has full rights to demand that everything should be followed in a manner in which a regular bezdin conducts itself. And therefore, all ex parte communication would be completely prohibited and forbidden and off limits.